West Coast College Training, July 4th through 11th, Occidental, California. Title, Christ Our Portion. Evening Session, Message 5, Putting on the New Man and the Constitution and Renewing of the New Man. Scripture Reading, 2 Corinthians 5:17, Colossians 3:10 11, 17, Ephesians 2:15, and 4:22-24.
As Dick Taylor would say, God morning.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I know all of us are a bit anxious to leave. It's okay. That's to be human. But still, I hope you will just not leave your body here, and every part of you have, you know, just dashed out of this place already. I hope you will still give your concentration to the Lord by the exercise of your spirit, and even by focusing your mind in this last session. Now, this morning we have limited time. We're already running a bit late. I will speak until 10:15, and I will be done. And then at that time, we will have some overflow from you, especially from those of you who have not spoken yet. We encourage you to say something before you go. Then at 10:30, which was the arranged ending time, we still have one more thing to do, and that is to give certain awards. That would take about 15 minutes. So we should end here by 10:45 or so. I hope you're okay, huh? You won't die, and it's okay. It's all right. 15 minutes of your life is nothing. All right. Okay. Now, this morning I have decided that I will not get into something else, but will stick with this last message of this evening line. I feel we need to tie the knot. We need to complete the course as we have begun. So in order to do that, I still always like young people to read the Bible. So this morning, we'll just read the Bible. And the verses that you have in scripture reading, except I want to just add one verse that we will read first before we go to Colossians. And that would be this famous verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Okay? No, excuse me. I should be saying 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Okay. So we should all know this. Let's read. So then, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, they have become new. This new creation here is synonymous with the subject of this message, and that is the new man. So next time you hear the word new creation, that refers to the new man and vice versa. And I do want you to draw your attention to one thing. It says the old things have passed away. Old things including all the old things of the old creation, the old man, Adam, all the things related to the fallen Adam, all the things in the old creation, which God made, by the way. Yet it was a creation without God's life and God's nature as its element. In fact, it is a creation that has been defiled and corrupted by Satan. That old creation is over. Amen?
Amen.
In fact, the word for old things refer to ancient things. There's this word, the ancient serpent passed away. Behold, they have become new. I like you to pay attention to this word, become. You can say here, become new, it means everything is new once and for all. But as you will see this morning, my main burden is that there's a process involved. This becoming, in a sense, in a very good sense, is still going on in our experience. All right? Okay, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Those are the main verses for today, 10 through 11. So let's go there and let's just read it. All right? And have put on the new man, which is being renewed unto full knowledge, according to the image of him who created him, where there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision but barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. The important thing here, of course, these are verses, the classic verses on the new man, but I'd like you to pay attention to actually verse 9, which we did not read, where it says, you have put off the old man with his practices. There's a putting off here. Firstly, there was a creation of this once and for all. And that was done when Christ was crucified, terminated the old man, and when he was resurrected, whereupon he germinated the new man in himself, which includes you and I as the components of it, as his many, God's many begotten sons who have received God's divine and life and nature. With God thus added to us, we become indeed a new thing, a new creation that never existed in this universe, a totally new entity. God added to creation becomes the new creation. Christ coming into us, regenerating us, constituting himself into us, made us at that time a new creation. All right? However, there is still a putting off of that old man. And as you will see in verse 12, there is a put on, therefore. There is a putting on. And if you read this with Ephesians, which we will do momentarily, you see that this putting on is the putting on of the new man. So therefore, put off the old man, put on the new man. So after the creation act happened 2,000 years ago, there is in time a putting off and putting on process. Now, when did that take place? Again, from the standpoint of the of an event, and that would be take place, number one, when we got saved, and number two, when we were baptized, all right? When we believed into the Lord and when we were immersed into him, those two actually are two steps, two half steps of one great step, believing and being baptized. You know the verse in Mark 16:16, believe and be baptized and you will be saved. So believe is a half step. Being baptized is the other half step. Put those together is one single step of becoming a new creation. So that happened to all of us, right? That happened to all of us. When we believe into the Lord, right, we were put into Christ. Of God are we all in Christ Jesus, all right? And then when we were baptized, we also put on Christ, according to Galatians 3. We put him on. And if you put that together with Romans 6, chapter 6, you'll say that was a time when we were buried with Christ. Our old man was crucified with him. That's the putting off. That's the putting off. Okay? So in this composite step of believing and baptism, of faith and baptism, the putting off took place. You see, based on our identification, meaning our oneness with him, our being identified to what Christ's experience or the process of Christ 2,000 years ago of death and resurrection, in that act of believing into him and being baptized into him, we identify with that, amen, with him and his death and resurrection. And by that identification, we put off the old man and we put on the new man, which Christ did when he was on the cross. It became ours. His story became our history.
Amen.
Through the act of identification. I know I'm giving you a lot. You have to think about this and break it down, and you have to read your life studies. Over time, you will understand what I'm saying. Okay, but just take it as it is. And also, we did a put on at that time. Through faith and baptism, we put on Christ. And Christ is the constituent of the new man. So we put on Christ. We put on off the old man, the individualistic, fallen, Adamic, Satan-infused old man, with all of its lust, all of its desires, all of its practices. We put it off at that time. This is what baptism really means, right? And we also put him on. We put what on? We put Christ on as the new man, as the constituent of the new man. All right, so that's number two. That's what happened. So are you with me?
Amen.
Number one, 2,000 years ago on the cross, Christ, right, terminated the old man and created in himself the new man. And then when we, in time, believed into him and were baptized, all right, we, through our identification of what Christ went through, we put off the old man and we put on a new man.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you, baptism is a great, great thing. Some of you got baptized or something these few days, I was told. You just put off and you just put on.
Amen.
You put off an old man, you put on a new man.
Amen.
But that's not the end. Now that these two events, if you will, had taken place, now there is a process, I would say a daily process. What is this process? This is the daily experience of a continual putting off and continual putting on, which is defined in Colossians and in Ephesians by one word, and that is the word renewal. Renewal. Yes, yes, there is a once and for all putting off and once and for all putting on by us. Yes, Christ terminated the old man and created the new man. But today, because we are still in our flesh, because we are still have the old creation with us, am I right? Practically speaking. So from the angle of experience, from the perspective of experience, the whole Christian life would be a continual putting off over and over again, and a continual putting on over and over again. That process is the process of renewal. You know, in Titus it says, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So after we were regenerated, we were saved, we received Christ's life, that's not the end, that's the beginning. So today, this is, we are involved in a marvelous organic process of being day by day renewed. This renewal is not to make us a better person or a fair person, as we covered last night, as taught by today's Christian in today's Christian philosophy, but this is an organic metabolic process of the organic discharge of the old man with the old life and nature and even with its old practices day after day after day, and then the acquiring or the constitution of a new life, a new nature, with its new practices, its new living, indeed, its new manner of life, living. more and more each day.
Amen.
And by this renewal process, we are being transformed. Transformed into what? Transformed as if into the image of God's firstborn son. The picture is that of a caterpillar. Am I right? You all know this. Very ugly. But it has the butterfly's life. Hallelujah. Now, I must say that I'm staring at a bunch of caterpillars here. Myself included. All right? We're all caterpillars. Not terribly attractive. In fact, a bit repulsive, right? And scary, right? Just wiggling and kind of, ugh. Okay, that's how we are, and you sometimes are, maybe a lot of times are. But hallelujah, there is the butterfly life in that caterpillar, am I right? So what this caterpillar is going through is a transformation, a renewal. Okay, and that renewal process is not just to make it from a bad caterpillar into a good caterpillar, a unfair caterpillar into a fair caterpillar. That doesn't change much. It's still a caterpillar. God doesn't want caterpillars. God wants some butterflies in this illustration. So the process is to transform metabolically by something that is in the caterpillar, and don't forget, by the caterpillar eating a lot. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
It eats its way into a butterfly. It eats and it spins whatever around him into a cocoon, and then one day after some time, out comes a beautiful butterfly. Now, this is just an illustration of transformation. That is the process of renewal. No illustration is ever complete, but you get the idea. All right. So this is how eventually the real practical experiential new man is there, by this process. So what are we going through today? Now, today, every day, we are shedding, if you will, putting off the old skin, the old man with its practices.
Amen.
It's crucified already 2,000 years ago. And I put it off already when I believe in the Lord and was baptized. But experientially, today, every day, I am shedding. I'm putting off in an organic way, right? And every day as well, by receiving Christ, by experiencing the work of his cross, many things, I am what? I am being what? I'm putting on, as it were, putting on Christ as the constituent of the new man. In other words, I am becoming the new man, a new man. Not only I'm becoming a new man personally, but corporately we're becoming the new man. Right? The new man in the process. In this process.
Amen.
This is really what the Christian life is about.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
You're intelligent. You understand what I'm talking about, I think. Alright? Now, we will go back to this in a while. Okay. There's also chapter, so don't forget, you have to read verse 9 and all these verses from chapter 12, all the way to 17 and even beyond to understand this. In verse 17, let's read. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Well, this is a verse added here to indicate in one of the points in the outline that today the one practical way for us to experience this renewal in a daily way is that we would learn to do things in the Lord's name and giving thanks to God, meaning to live a life in oneness with the Lord Jesus. This is the only way we can be renewed. Okay, now let's read Ephesians now, sister book. And if you want to study the subject of the new man, which is a great subject, one that I want to study more, and there's a lot already in the ministry, you have to read also chapter 4, Ephesians 22 to 24. So let's read that. Have you found it? 4, 22 to 24. So it says, let's read, that you put off as regards your former manner of life, the old man, which is being corrupted according to the lust of the deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, okay, so here you have, and then, by the way, before I forget, in verse 25, that therefore having put off the lie, put off the lie. So this is very Pauline, very much Paul's expressions, putting off, putting on, with regards to the new man. So here it says that you, verse 22, you put off the former manner of life, the old man. So, this old man, which is corrupted according to the lusts of the deceit actually is personified. That refers to the devil, to Satan. The old man was corrupted. This God-created man, Adam, was corrupted. And so it lingers to us. It came all the way down. It was passed on to us because we're all descendants of Adam. We're all in Adam. So we all have this old man. We have all become this old man. The whole world's population is just one old man. Okay? Now here, this old man here, Paul is saying that it is, he describes this old man as the former manner of life. This old man is not just a person. It's not just a thing. It is a living. It is an existence. It is a certain manner of life. It is a certain way of living. Lifestyle, if I may use the word. To put off the old man is to put off a certain lifestyle. That is according to the devil. Now that suddenly makes it practical, does it not? You say, I put off the old man, but I look at your lifestyle. There ain't a bit of putting off. You can shout, I put off, but then no putting off at all. You just live, speak, cuss. You know what I mean? Where you are just like the old man. And how can you say? So putting off is very practical. You have to put off the lifestyle, the manner of life of the old man to make it practical. Here, Paul speaking here is on experience. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, he spoke about the fact. There he talked about on the cross, the Lord made the two into one, Jews and Gentile, creating one new man. I spoke about that already. That was 2,000 years ago. Through mainly his death and also through his resurrection, he created the one new man in himself. But here in Ephesians 4, it's experience. It's not just fact, it's experience. And when it comes to experience, it's a matter of putting off the former corrupted manner of living. I'm very burdened about this. All right. Then it says in 23, that process of putting off, okay, one very, very key thing in that is the renewing in the spirit of your mind. Now, I would like you to pay attention. The mind is very important. I tell you, in this whole renewal process, the mind is the key. It does not even start with the manner of life. You know, I go and, okay, clean up, shape up. That's not real renewal. But when something happens to your mind, there's some real renewal in the mind. And here it says it's the spirit of your mind. What does this mean? This means we were saved. Are we not saved?
Amen.
We're regenerated. Are we not?
Amen.
What happened then? Well, the act of regeneration is God, the divine spirit, right? Christ, the life-giving spirit, coming into our spirit,
Amen.
Our human spirit, regenerating it, making it alive,
Amen.
And making it his home, mingling himself with our spirit. So today, we have the spirit mingle with my spirit. It is called the mingle spirit. Is it true or is it a fairy tale? It's real. This is real. Okay, now, this spirit, this mingle spirit, ought not to just stay there in our spirit. This spirit, according to God's economy, is to spread out, is to migrate, is to move out into the other inward parts of our being.
Amen.
Chiefly, our being is composed of our soul. Of our soul. Your soul is your being. Or sometimes we can say your heart is your being. That's you. Who are you? You're your soul. You're your heart. The spirit, this mingled spirit, must spread. If there's to be renewal, it must spread into our soul and into our heart. Now, the chief, main, primary part of our heart and our spirit, our soul, is our mind. Our mind is what gives our soul direct, our heart direction. It is the key part. It is the most key part. So if, listen, the spirit can have a way to get into your mind, to invade your mind,
Amen.
to seep into your mind,
Amen.
Take over your mind.
Amen.
To drench your mind.
Amen.
To fill up your mind.
Amen.
To suffuse your mind.
Amen.
I tell you, this spirit would have become the spirit of your mind.
Amen.
The boss, the content of your mind.
Amen.
So your mind is no longer filled with the vanity of this world. The vanity of the mind. This is how the nations and the Gentiles walk today. All together in the vanity of the mind, in the darkened reasoning. Talk about atheism, talk about all these isms last night. It's all from right here, between my fingers, okay? It all comes from the corrupted human mind, natural human mind. Therein lies the problem. And this is the great holdout of the old man. If this part, if our mind can be what? Taken over by the spirit would have a way to move into our mind, to possess our mind, the way it thinks, the kind of stuff it thinks, the way it reasons, the way it, all these things. I tell you, the renewal process is going on, and soon enough, you will see your manner of life being affected. You know, just to change the outward manner of life doesn't last. You know? It's like a monkey, right? We always use this illustration. Putting on a tuxedo. Well, still a monkey, am I right? It's a tuxedo monkey. And when the show is over, the tuxedo will be shredded into pieces. And he'll be back to scratching and whatever else. Things the monkey does. Okay. That doesn't work. To put on the A new manner of life does not mean a monkey putting on a tuxedo. Okay? No, no. It has to start with the mind of that monkey. It has to start with the mind. When the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, when God takes over your mind, I tell you, all kinds of things happen. Oh, all kinds of things happen. Your life would change. Your outward behavior would change. Your speech would change. Even the way you rationalize, the way you reason, the way you think will all start changing. My, when that starts changing, your life, your outward behavior, your walk will also start changing. And that is lasting. That's real. So the battleground, the important piece here is the mind and the renewal of it. And so this is why Paul sandwiched this between verse 22 and 24 on putting off and putting on. The way is to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let's finish. 24, you have to then put on the new man experientially. You have done it already, but experientially, day by day, put him on. Put on the new man. That's why in the morning when we get up, we have to touch the Lord. You know what that is? I am putting on the new man.
Amen.
This is a day of putting on.
Amen.
And also a day of putting off. And this new man was created, we talked about that already, by Christ on the cross, and it's created according to God. You know, the old man, you know, the Adam, was also created according to God, wasn't he not? In fact, he had God's image, has God's likeness. But the thing that the Adam did not have is it did not have God's life and nature that he didn't have. So he has the outward semblance of God, but did not have the inward reality of God. That's the old man. Then the devil came and corrupted this old man who still has God's outward image and likeness, and today yet filled with the satanic life and nature. That is the explanation of today's mankind, the fallen man. But God would not give up, right? He would redeem this old man back to himself. Amen? He would spare this old man from eternal judgment by the death of his own son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. By purchasing this old man back to himself with his own blood, that was the first step. Then the second step is through the resurrection of Christ and becoming the life-giving spirit, he would come into this new man, this old man. Come into this redeemed man to regenerate him, to put God's life and nature into him. And this is the new creation. The new creation simply means the redeemed old creation that has God's life and nature added to it.
Amen.
That's the definition of the new creation. It does not mean one day God come and say, huh? Look at this old creation. Throw it out. Let me make a new creation. That's wrong. God took the old creation and redeemed it to himself and put his own life and nature into it and make it a new creation. So today the raw material of the new creation is actually the old. Except the redeemed and cleansed and forgiven one. Now injected with God's life and nature, it becomes the new creation. That's what Christ accomplished on the cross through his death and resurrection. This man was created according to God, this new creation.
Amen.
It means here now not only the outward likeness, the outward image, which happened 6,000 years ago, but now this is what? According to God in an inward sense, according to God's life, according to God's nature, which is what? In righteousness and holiness of the reality. Righteousness is God's chief top attribute. Holiness is God's top attribute. The reality is simply God himself. So the new man is full of God, full of God's attributes. All right? So When we put on this new man, we live out God. We express God. We have the divine lifestyle. Hallelujah. You know what is the divine lifestyle? Just read the four Gospels. Jesus' life, the reality that is in Jesus, is the divine lifestyle, how he lived. All right, now, those are the verses. Okay, now, let us come to the outline. I spoke a lot already. If you got it, you got it. You didn't get it, you didn't get it. All right. Did you get something? I know I was like a machine gun a little bit, but anyway, I hope you follow me. All right. So let us use the outline, and I will say a few more things. I'm particularly burdened for your experience. Amen. Young people, you don't need that much doctrine. You need a whole lot of experience. Amen. We got to make this practical. All right? Okay. Actually, I will put Romans 1 and 3 together. They actually conjoin. And Romans 2 and 4 actually is a pair. All right, that's how you really should use this outline. Okay, Romans 1, the ultimate, let's read. The ultimate goal of God in his economy is to gain the new man constituted
with the all-inclusive Christ brought into a corporate people.
Don't forget, this whole week is on Christ, our portion in Colossians. The whole week is to see Christ. Amen. Number one, as the allotted portion of the saints in the light. Amen. Number two, as the mystery of God and God's economy. We jump over a lot of items, right, which are included in this. I mentioned already, he is the firstborn, right, of the old creation, the firstborn of the new creation. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the one in which the fullness is pleased to dwell, and the one in whom the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. This one, is today the one who is living in us as the hope of our glory. Remember that? And then we also saw that this one is what? He is the reality of all the shadows. Am I right? Yes. Oh, the new moon, remember this? Yes. That's a monthly thing. The eating and drinking, that is a daily thing. And he's the real Sabbath. The reality of the Sabbath, that is a weekly thing. And he's all the feasts, which is a yearly thing. So this is our life. Whether it's daily, weekly, monthly, or yearly, the reality should be Christ. Amen. Replacing all those shadows of the Old Testament types. So, again, we see Christ. Then, I think, Friday night, right? I don't know, maybe I'm off by a little bit. We saw... this Christ, this Christ is our life. This Christ is our life. And our life is also hidden in this Christ. Okay, you can go through all these things. Now, today we see the last point concerning this portion of ours. This Christ. That is, he is the constituent or the constitution of the new man. Of the new man. Which new man is the highest aspect of the church? You know this? You know, in Ephesians, it's talk about the new man, of the church being number one. The it is the household of God. It is including the dwelling place of God. It is the kingdom of God. It is actually, firstly, the word church means the called out assembly of God. Then we're shown that this church is the fullness of the one who fills all in all, and that means he is the body of Christ. Well, we talk a lot about the church as the body of Christ, but brothers and sisters, I like, at least in this message, that you realize that even that is not the highest. There is a higher aspect of the church, and that is the church as the new man. God is not only after a body, God is after a man.
Amen.
All right? So come up here. This brother is from London. We have some Brits here. And as you will see in this new man, there's no Brit.
Right.
And no Yankees. Yeah? They're all terminated.
Amen.
All no room, no place in the new man. In the new man, only Christ.
Amen.
Okay. So, you see, we talk a lot about the body of Christ. This is the head. Right? The head is Christ. And the body is the church. Am I right? Christ and the church. Right? So we talk a lot about the body. A lot about the body. And we should. And Paul does a lot. But I'll tell you, what is the body for? And what is the head for? And what is the combination of the head and body about? Huh? It's about a man. See, don't just your name again. Go ahead.
Elliot.
Elliot. I don't say, oh, look, there's Elliot's head. Hey, look, that's Elliot's body. Hey, how's your body, Elliot? How's your head doing? I like your head, you know. You got a great body. He would say, no. This is Elliot, the man. Yes, there's a wonderful body, there's a wonderful head, but it's about the man. It's about the man. Do you see, do you know God actually in this universe does not want just to have a body? He does for his son. Christ. But actually, in this universe, God wants to have a man. A man. A man.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why he created a man called Adam, according to his image, and he's going to get it in the church.
Amen.
Amen. And yet this is not the old man anymore who got corrupted and fallen. He got a new man. One day there will be one new man, a great man, a corporate man in this universe standing there.
Amen.
And I would be part of that. You would be part of that. This man, head and body, Christ and the church, okay, is what? Is with Christ as its constituent. Every part of this new man is Christ. Everything else is fired. Remember my message? Everything is discharged, replaced. Only Christ remain.
Amen.
But it doesn't mean discharge that we're all thrown out, we're in the trash. No! I tell you, we are all renewed. We all are actually the components of this new man.
Amen.
Christ is the constituent, and we regenerated people are the components of this new man. We did not get thrown out at all. We are being renewed. So that we, into the image of Christ, so that we would all become Christ.
Amen.
When we all become Christ, I tell you, we match the head, and we together with Christ becomes the one new man in this universe, which Paul calls the masterpiece of God. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, thanks.
Amen.
The masterpiece of God. God is doing a masterpiece.
Amen.
One day, the curtain will be drawn, the drums roll, the new man will appear. And today, this doesn't pop out of the sky, It is a process that is going on today, actually for 2,000 years. And we are all in part of this process.
Amen.
The process of what? Renewal. Renewal. God is in the process of renewing experientially the old to the new. Okay, now, this is what God wants. So today, God's one work in His economy is to work this Christ, is to constitute this Christ, is to wrought this Christ into us, into His corporate people, not to make you and I spiritual, as I once thought. No, but to constitute us all into a new, built-up new man. This world awaits that. I tell you, this man stands absolutely against that image in Daniel. That was also a man from Babylon, golden head, all the way to the 2 feet and the 10 toes of clay and iron. There's a man there. I tell you, that man is Antichrist. It's all the human governments throughout history. That man is with Satan. Satanic. That man is the fallen man. With all of the human culture, human development, human philosophy, all the sin, all the world, everything is in that man. And that man one day will be crushed. Am I right?
Amen.
Crushed at the feet and fall to pieces.
Amen.
I tell you today, God is creating the new man. That is a Frankenstein. You know what I mean. A monster. That is a counterfeit man. And today, one day, God will judge that man to the uttermost. God wants His man.
Amen.
I want my man.
Amen.
I want the one new man.
Amen.
2,000 years ago, He came and created it. Then in time, He formed it.
Amen.
And now, on a daily basis, He's renewing him.
Amen.
We are becoming the new man.
Amen.
Part of the one new man.
Amen.
That will stand in this universe.
Amen.
With His feet on the earth and the head in the heavens. That great woman, actually, in Revelation, is this new man.
Amen.
Now, okay. Okay, whoa. I have 10 minutes. My goodness. Alright. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay. Alright, anyway, it doesn't matter. A new man and the body are synonyms. Christ and we together form a universal man. You see, I talked about it already. As the one in the heaven, Christ is the head. As those on the earth, we are the body. You got it, right?
Yeah.
B, the new man is the corporate God-man with Christ, the firstborn son, as the head. Again, the head. And the believers, the many sons of God, as the body.
Amen.
You know that, okay? And three, okay, Roman 3. This new man is simply Christ constituted into us.
Amen.
Christ plus us is the new man.
Amen.
It's not just Christ. You see, Christ is all. It doesn't stop there. He is also an in all. That means we're included. So it's Christ plus us, plus Christ in us, is the new man. So A, as the one who indwells us, who is our life, Christ is the constituent of the new man. That's why you need to develop a hidden life.
Amen.
You must experience Christ as life in a hidden daily way.
Amen.
That's how you become the new man. That's the source of your renewal. B, the Christ we enjoy as our God allotted portion becomes the constituent of the new man. Enjoy Christ.
Amen.
Oh, enjoy Christ.
Amen.
As your portion all the time.
Amen.
Eat Him, drink Him.
Amen.
Call on His name.
Amen.
Do all things in Him.
Amen.
Enjoy Him as your portion.
Amen.
And He will become your constituent.
Amen.
Making you the new man. Okay, see, because Christ is all in all, in the new man, there's only room for Christ and no room for the natural man. No room. Since Christ is all in all in the new man, and we're part of the new man, we're all part of Christ. Are you part of Christ or not?
Yes. Amen.
It's not for us to say, I am Christ. Not Christ in his Godhead. Not Christ as an object of worship. But in life and nature, I am Christ.
Amen.
We are part of Christ.
Amen.
The body is the Christ.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians 12:12, the body is Christ. The body is Christ. If it's not Christ, then it is not the body. Elliot's body is Elliot. It's not some foreign thing that got screwed onto Elliot's head. No. Actually, his body come out of the head. The body comes out of the head. The church comes out of Christ. Just like Eve comes out of Adam. So, we need to see this and we need to daily enjoy this Christ. Partake of this Christ to be filled with this Christ. Oh, fill me, Jesus. Every moment give me more of you. That's how we will become constituted with him and become the new man. And everything else will be what? Flushed out. Will be discharged. All the natural things in us. Since Christ is all and in all in the new man, we're part of the new man. We're all part of, we read that already. Okay. 2, the only way for Christ to be all in all in the new man is for him to be constituted into us. Okay. So you got the idea. Now, in Romans 2 and 3, this is experience. Let's read Romans 2. Although the new man was already created in Christ, we still need to put on the new man. You need to put on. Don't be a put on, but put on. Put on the new man. I told already, it's just like my jacket. Okay? My jacket. It's exactly like a garment. Put off. You see, I just shed it, this expression, this covering of me. This is the old man. Put him off. Take him off. Take him off. Every day, shed. Every day, put him off. Put him off. That's something that you have to do. Christ created, but you have to cooperate every day through the process of renewal to put off. Put off. Put off some more. And Paul gets very practical what you put off. The practices. The lying. Your speech. The way you act. The way you behave. Eventually the way you dress. Okay? The way you interact with people. The way you think. The way you conduct yourself. All of that, it's putting off. Putting off. This is not some ethical reformation. This is not just changing your behavior. This is through a process of taking in Christ. And this Christ, in your spirit, spreading into your mind, and then what? Causing a renewal to take place. And when that there's a renewal, a different way of thinking in your mind, you would live differently. And you will spontaneously put off. You know, I used to, you know, read certain things, and I know it's not so good, whether it's bad or not, but anyway, and it's hard, you know. Let's say you're reading Twilight something, you know, Twilight something, and you know this is not good. This is really not good. Am I right? These vampire stuff. And you know you shouldn't be reading it, and you even threw it into the trash, but it came back from the trash. You know. and you even watch a movie of that and this and that. You know it's not good, and you couldn't get rid of it. You want to get rid of it, you can't. Let me tell you, for me to admonish you, get rid of it, doesn't work. Doesn't work. What should you do? You should do two things. I'll tell you, okay. You basically need to be renewed. So you need to have your mind renewed. Okay, firstly, you got to have your mind renewed. You have to, through the what? Now, then you say, how do I get my mind renewed? I'll tell you two ways. Number one, you have to what? you have to really, really touch the Spirit. I mean, no, not playing around. Not you have to really touch the Lord. You know, when a person really touched Christ, his mind is just Amen. Changed. I tell you, there's a whole new way of thinking. There's a whole new way. I mean, this Christ will just replace those things. This Christ would have a different taste. This Christ would have a different love. This Christ, I don't think this Christ likes Twilight. I don't think so. At least the Christ that I know. Okay. And he would, but he is not here to telling you, you shouldn't, he doesn't do that. He just seep into your mind. He, by your contacting him, loving him, enjoying him, receiving him, being one with him, eating him, drinking him, am I right? I tell you, he, so much so, I tell you, he will give you a different kind of taste, different kind of love. And I tell you, after a while, that thing doesn't even become tasteful to you anymore. It just loses its attraction to you. The excitement value is gone. After a while, you just say, how come I have no taste for it? You know, there are people who smoke, and after they got saved, they really touch the Lord, they pick up the smoke, it tastes different. Well, the smoke is still the cigarette is still the same brand, you know, same taste. But what changed? The taste changed. There's another life, another nature in him that changed, his taste changed. He lost taste for that. You can actually lose taste for the world. Yeah. One day you wake up, hey, that thing that used to be so important to me is not important anymore. That particular magazine that I must read, I don't have to read. And I'm not missing anything. And I tell you, okay, that is by the Spirit. There's another way to renew your mind. By the Word. Oh, I tell you, fill your head with the Word. The Word is especially targeting your mind. The Word enlightens you, your mind. The Word gives your mind understanding. The Word replaces vanity with reality. The Word of God washes. The Word of God is a water that sanctifies you, your mind mainly. So actually, Ephesians is a book on the new man. Colossians is a book on the new man. The emphasis in Ephesians is the Spirit, whereas the emphasis in Colossians is the Word. Showing the Spirit and the Word are the two means for us to be renewed, to become the new man. Amen. So young people, let me give you the prescription. Amen. The prescription is to get into the Word. Amen. Oh, read the Word. Amen. Read the ministry. Amen. Listen to the messages. Amen. Get your mind filled up with the divine concept of things. Amen. Oh, I tell you, after a while, your mind just tells you differently. Amen. Your mind, you're renewed in the Spirit of your mind. The Spirit, through the Word, migrates into your mind, takes over your mind. Now, this is one side. The other side, I must tell you, because I have no more time, is your cooperation of putting on and putting off. There's something that you must do also. Yeah. You have to do some putting off. And you have to do some putting on. Then you say, what do I put off? Well, the whole bunch of things that I listed last night involves a lot of putting off. Put off that old dorm life. Isn't that a putting off? Put off those old corrupted friendship. That is putting off. Put off those old habits, worldly habits. That is a putting off. Paul here talks about, if you read, practices. Put off the lusts. Put it off. That is your cooperation. Don't say, oh, I'm going to wait here until Christ renews me. Yes, by your intake of the Spirit and the Word, there will be a kind of renewal metabolically within. But I must tell you, you have to cooperate with Him from without. There's places that you know you shouldn't be in. Am I right? You have to put that off. You have to give that up. And don't say, oh, this is human behavior. This is just human, artificial. No, that is your cooperation with the divine spirit and the divine word.
Amen.
That's my experience. By such deliberate and conscious putting off, I experienced the new man. Okay, not just putting off. You see, like a coat. Put it off. Put it off. Right? Even your speech. Put off the old speech. Put off the old haircut. Everything. I'm just mentioning two things. Then it says what? Put on. See? Put on. Oh. Every day put on a new lifestyle. You know what is this? Well, you say that's Christ. Well, that's doctrinal. Aha. I would say put on what? Put on all the things here. You know, here it says forbearance, love, you know, forgiving one another. All these divine attributes expressed in human virtue, put them on. Put them on. And I would say, really what that means is the church life. The old man is an individual man that we put off. Your old man. My old man. But the new man is a corporate man that we all put on the same. That is the church life. Oh, the wonderful, spiritual, Christ-filled, spirit-filled, word-filled church life. Put on the meetings. Amen?
Amen.
Go to meetings. That's to put on the new man.
Amen.
Preach the gospel. That is a put on.
Amen.
Right? Yes. You know, the gospel will, as a gospel shoe, will separate you from the earth. That's what a shoe does. The more you preach the gospel, the more the world will be cut off from you.
Amen.
You just try it. And so many things. I tell you, to go to conferences, isn't that a wonderful putting on?
Amen.
Go to Poland.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Go to Wales.
Amen.
Go to Occidental, right? And these brothers last night told me, it's about time we should have some global college age get together.
Amen.
Somewhere on this globe.
Amen.
We'll fill up an arena.
Amen.
With college age overcomers.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I think I'll think about that. But I said, before you do that, you can do a virtual one. You know, today we can have these things like this. Next week, I'm going to put Athens and Fairborn together in one room by Uvu, by the internet. I tell you, that's the beginning. There are many ways. Go to the conference. Go to the trainings. You know, when I grew up, I mean, oh boy, I tell you. I told you, besides studying and doing some school things, I'm just a church bum, you know. To me, everything is just a church. It's morning church, evening church, noontime church. Whether I like twilight or not, I have no time for twilight. It's all occupied. Sorry, I look at my, well, we didn't have phones in those days, but check my schedule. Sorry. My schedule is all filled for the next 4 years. You know, the devil comes and say, hey, you have time? 11 to 12, it's taken over. 12, my schedule is fulfilled, sorry. So the devil left me. He said, this guy is too busy for me. That's exactly what happened. This is practical salvation.
Amen.
Don't have the idea, oh, well, willy-nilly, the Spirit will do something. Meanwhile, I still enjoy myself until something happens. Well, the renewal will happen in you, but you have to render the Lord some practical cooperation by your putting off and putting on.
Amen.
It's in the Bible.
Amen.
Don't go hang out with the old men. You know what I mean? Doing all the old things. Stick with those in the new man.
Amen.
And pursue with those.
Amen.
Right? Okay. I already passed the time already. Just one last thing, and you can read the rest of the outline. Okay. This is why I'm so burdened. I told the brothers beforehand. In this whole four chapters of Colossians, I'm particularly burdened, and I think you covered one of the meetings. In chapter 3 in the beginning, this same chapter, he says what? Set your mind on the things above. Mind. Do you know this word mind? Where you put your mind, brothers and sisters, is very crucial. It's the battlefield is your mind. If you keep your mind on the things of this earth, on all the earthly things, you will not be renewed. You will not experience that hidden life with Christ. You need to set your mind on the things above. And what does it say here in chapter 3, verse 1? What does it say? Therefore you're raised together with Christ. Seek the things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. You remember the peg driven into a sure place? That's where Christ is. Put your mind, and verse 2, set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth, because you've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, my point, and I'm ending here, the saints, you're going into school this fall, freshmen. Okay, learn to set your mind on in the heavenly things.
Amen.
That is Christ. Seek the things that are above and set your mind there. By setting your mind there, you know, Paul says set your mind on the Spirit. But in Colossians, he says set your mind on the things above. You know, heaven and your spirit are connected. Heaven is in your spirit. Your spirit is in the Holy of Holies, is the Holy of Holies in the heavenlies. There is a ladder connecting the two. Your mind should be set on the Spirit, and by doing so, it is set on things above. And you need to set your mind from this, away from this polluted world, on the things above, where things are crystal clear, where Christ is at the right hand of God. You just think about Christ. You just muse on Christ. You just ruminate on about Christ. You just always thinking about His Word. You're always doing that. Okay? You do that. And I'll tell you, after a while, your mind starts changing. Your mind starting to be renewed. And I'll tell you what is happening. That is Christ being practically constituted into your soul. When that happens, I tell you, you are what? Practically becoming the new man. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, let there be a generation.
Amen.
Let there be you, a generation of young people on the earth today. That not only are not earthly, worldly in that way, but neither religious like today's young Christians. You know, my heart yearns for them. Many of them love the Lord. They really love the Lord. But their mind is full of entertainment and all this kind of stuff I just talked about last night. Where are the young people whose head is just full of Christ?
Amen.
Their head is not above water. Their head is in the heavens. Where's your head? I only see you. Where's your head? My head is in the heavens. That doesn't mean you're kind of like, you know what I mean? When your head is in the heavens, you get good grades. You have a clear mind. Yeah, I really mean it. Amen?
Amen.
So here we end. Christ our portion.
Amen.
Hasn't this been a good week?
Amen.
So, take this, experience this, and do something in your campuses.
Amen.
Share this. Preach this to your friends. And next year, bring one with you.
Amen.
And this will not be 300 people. We'll have 600 people. And I don't think we can meet here anymore. But I heard they're expanding this place.
Okay.